Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
I want to teach this morning from the subject, the joy set before us. The joy set before us. And I want to go and tell you who that joy has got to be and is. It's Jesus. He's the joy set before us. I mean, what house gives you more joy than Jesus? What car? What person? Who authored your faith? Jesus did, and he's going to finish it. He's the joy that is set before us. And when you have a goal, when you have something that's greater than the present trials and tests you and set before, it pulls you and motivates you. I do what I do and continue to do what I do regardless of people and opposition and haters and friends or foe alike, because there's something set before me. I have a vision one day after I'm through preaching and Word of Life and all these buildings we're meeting down here, and thank God the Lord himself descend from heaven with a shout and we're caught up to meet him in the air. I have this image of myself going before Jesus with the call on my life, which was a pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, and him laying his hands on me and saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make a rule over my enter into the joy zone." That's what keeps me motivated. Now, I would love for you to get your approval. I know a lot of you love me, my wife, George said, but you know, that's not what keeps me motivated. There's something set before. And then I'm going to use as a subtopic, put that back up, focus forward, not backwards. We're going forward. Our focus should be not where we come from, but where we're going. That was the children of Israel problem. God was trying to get them out of a land that was not enough, Egypt, sin. He brought them through the wilderness where it was barely enough. They only had manna for one day, food for one day, water, to land that was more than enough, forward. And we got to focus forward. And so I want to talk about the joy set before us and focus forward. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at verse 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Now, you know those witnesses they're talking about is all the Hebrews Hall of Faith. You know, chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them gave their testimony how they overcame. He said, they've given their testimony. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run this, let us run with patience." Now, watch this. "This race that is where? Set before us." It's before us. It's not back there. It's forward. We all got a course. God has plans for your life, and it's set before you. It's not back here. It's set before us. He's going to tell you when we run this race who we look to while we're running this race. Looking unto who? See, that's it. You remember what I just told you about my vision at the end of this race as Jesus put his hand? I mean, you know, thank God for the house and the car and the blessing and all the good things God do while we're down here, but that's not, there's something set before us. Can you imagine the joy? You know the great song that Mercy Me made? I could only imagine. I can only imagine what it'll be like. Whew, will I stand in his presence? Will I fall? Will I cry? Can you imagine? I mean, you get glimpsed. I mean, that's the joy that's set before. That's why we read a Bible. That's why you're here this morning. That's why y'all streaming wherever you're at. It's not about past this. We'll look unto Jesus. Who is what? The author and the finisher. He's going, what he started in you, well, of course, he's going to finish it. Every course has obstacles. There's ups and downs and hills and valleys. But we don't stop because there's something drawing us, and it's Jesus. The Bible says, "Who for the joy?" Now watch this. "That was set before him." See, Jesus was the joy set before us. That's why you go through what you go through. Man, I ain't gonna let no one stop me from Jesus. I don't care what that, I'm gonna finish my race. I mean, your children act crazy. I gotta stay focused on Jesus. Come on. Husband, family, job situation, divorce, deaths, funerals. You got, I mean, they're sad time, but I gotta finish this. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Well, notice Jesus had joy set before him. I'm gonna tell you right now, Jesus was the joy set before us, and we was the joy set before him. The Bible says, you know why he did what he did? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised and ashamed, and the Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was joy that motivated Jesus to go through what he went through. The joy of what? The joy of seeing Ronald Diggs say. The joy of seeing a Denise Hamlin say. A Cynthia Cruz. All of us. He would have did it for one. It was joy. Joy is a motivator. Joy is your strength. Come on, I mean, I can go through anything if I know what's on the other side waiting on me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And what greater gift and prize than Jesus himself? And Jesus said, the same way y'all running this race, and the same way that I was a joy set before, you was a joy set before me. I didn't enjoy being there on that cross. I didn't enjoy the crucifix, but there was something that made me look beyond the pain. Beyond the spear in my side, beyond the cat o' nine tails that tore in my flesh, and it gave me joy. Now, and notice what that joy did. See, we don't realize how important joy is in our service today, because so few people have it. Some of us just say, oh, I just come through a pandemic. I'm just glad to be here, girl. Now, joy, that we ain't talking about surviving. We're talking about thriving. We're talking about counting all joy, strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when we talk about joy, we're not talking about an emotion called happiness. Happiness is based off of the comforts of your five physical senses. As long as I got money in the bank, I'm happy. As long as my car running good, I'm happy. As long as we working good on the job and ain't no layoffs, I'm happy. As long as the children acting right, I'm happy. As long as my husband, but what about when your husband's tripping and the kids are tripping and you ain't got no money in the bank, you got pain? Joy is a fruit of the spirit. It's not controlled by the conference of the five physical sin. You can have joy when all hell is breaking loose all around you. See, joy motivates you. The Bible says Jesus had joy set before him. And he endured the cross. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Think on him. Focus on him. That endureth says contradiction of sinners against himself. Unless you get wearied and give up and faint in your mind. You haven't resisted under blood striving against sin. How many of you? Your blood was shed this week. A spirit went in your side for the sake of Christ. You was crucified. Someone nailed Roman crucifixion spikes through your wrist this week. Anybody? Anyone have thorns? Huh? Anyone get a spirit in their side this week? Nailed to a cross? See, think about him. You haven't resisted. Resisted what? What are we resisting? The temptation to quit. We all go through stuff. This pandemic has took a toll on a lot of different people. It changed lives. We found out what people were really believing. We found out who was trusting God, who was trusting this, and who was in the personalities. I mean, you know, it brought out what we were really believing. And there's been some loss, and there have been some sad times. If not in your personal family, there's been loss and loved ones, and yet we had to go on, and there's been trials and job loss and time, and it affected, you know, everything. It changed everything there for a season, and it's still changing stuff. You know, our lives will never maybe be normal again. That we might be mass mandates, there may be this, that's why we should be fussing about the vaccination and other. If you don't want to extra pretend, then leave folks alone. Why you got to campaign against something? That's what I don't get. You got that type? Fine. No, I ain't judging you. But it's been people and folks and small wars and division over these last 2 years in the body of Christ. It's been a toll. But thank God, here we are still going. We didn't quit. We didn't give up. We resisted. That was Sunday, and all of us say, man, don't never go back to church. Man, just why don't you just go back to the world, get high, get drunk? But you resisted. Why did you resist? Why did you resist the temptation to give up? Because Jesus didn't give up on you on that cross when the Spirit went in his side, when the pain he felt, when they crucified him and dropped and took his body, hung it high and stretched it wide, and it dropped in that hole and his flesh tore. They was trying to get him to quit. Satan was trying to kill him in the Garden of Gethsemane before he ever got to the cross. He was feeling the weight of your sin and my sin, the sins of the world. He was feeling the curse of the law. He was feeling my sins. He was wounded for our transgression. It bruised for our iniquities. To the point that he thought about give it up. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. That's the human side. That's the man side. In other words, he thought about giving it up, but he resisted, said, nevertheless. I see Ronald Diggs over there on the I see these folks. I got if I'm the fine, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. And he resisted the temptation to quit. And so when we go through opposition, I don't care what you're going through. You gotta resist the temptation to quit. I gotta finish this race. I gotta focus forward. There's joy set before me. Put this up and amplify it. I think we take light of the price Jesus really paid for us. And one reason, because they ain't really been preached. It's kind of like this cute guy with, you know, when he looked, Lowe's house nails went through and said, that ain't Jesus. According to Isaiah, he was totally disfigured. He didn't even resemble a man. But let's just read this. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that we bore testimony. I mean, Peter, John, Moses, Abraham, all these guys made it. Let us strip off and throw away every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin. Weight's the one thing, the sin, that thing that you struggle with, you ain't got, if you know that was your weakness, you ain't got time to be playing with it. And weights. Weights can be people. Just unnecessary things in your life, holding you back. Remember why? Why he say that? He said, and let us run with patience, endurance, and study, active, persistent, the appointed course in this race. If you're going to run a race, you ain't seen no one run a race with no leather jacket on, have you? No, anything mandate, I mean, huh? They don't want nothing. I mean, that can be the difference between world record and just, you know, third place. When in a race, I mean, they got body suits now. They don't want no resistance. Why? Because they do it for gold medal. We do it for Jesus. That's what motivates us. Are you listening to me? He said that set beware before us. And when we run, we don't run just whatever. We run looking away from all that will distract. Everyone say focus. I mean, there's been a lot of distraction. And will continue to be. If the devil can't stop you, he wants to distract. Let's get some drama started. And usually it's in your family. And anyway, it don't mess with you about what sinners and folks have, but when mama and cousin and Pookie them and Ray Ray, you don't understand what I'm saying? JoJo, start acting up. He said, you got to look away from that. Remember, you're in a race. And how many of we in a race, you got to run forward. And you got to stay in your lane. You don't see nobody running a race in Olympics like this, do you? Every now and then, it's a glance just to make sure that we're the competition. But hey, I got my eyes on the prize. Looking away from all that distract to the leader, the source of our faith, giving first and sentence on our behalf also, finishing and bringing in maturity to perfection. He for the joy of obtaining, we were a prize. That's why I love him so much. That's why I'm like, man, he would have did it for me. Because the Bible says the good shepherd will lead the 99, just one sheep. But we were all lost, destined to go to hell. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. That's why he didn't come down, despising and ignoring the shame, that he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think on him who endured for sinners such grievous opposition. Someone just lied on you, you ready to quit. You can't pay your light bill. I ain't going to church. Compare that to what Jesus went through. Grievous opposition, bitter hostility. Reckon it all up. Weigh it all out. Put what you went through, what Jesus went through. And in considered in comparison with your trial, that you may not grow weary and exhausted, losing heart, and relaxed and faint in your mind and quit. You have not struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, nor have you resisted to the point of pouring out your own blood. Not one of us. He didn't quit on us. We can't quit on him. Why? What motivated him? The joy that was set before. What motivates us? The joy that's set before us. I can't quit. I don't know about nobody else. I mean, there are folks when I got saved in 1980, you know, that was, some was called into a ministry, some called them pastors, church started. A lot of people jumped out that's not even serving God. I don't even know what happened. I don't say that in a negative way. I just say I can't stop because of other people. All of us know somebody that used to be on this course. Yes, sir. Because, see, when a race starts, everyone is at the race. Everyone is cheering at the beginning. That's where all the people are. On your mark. Get set. Pow! Ah! Crowd. Till you get way out there. Crowd, ain't nobody cheering now. You on your own. Man, my rib, my leg, I'm catching. You got to keep, you got to stay on court. They cheer from the beginning and at the end. And the Bible says we got to stay motivated. He didn't quit. Huh? Psalm 22 talks about the point that Jesus was so disfigured on the cross. He said, you can count my bones. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14 and 15 says, many were startled at him, for he was beyond the resemblance of a man. He did that cute picture on your calendar. You couldn't even recognize that. That wasn't Jesus. The Bible says his whole face was disfigured and marred beyond recognition. Read it. Isaiah 54, verse 14 and 15. Read the 22nd Psalm. It says that they had whipped him so much with that cat of nine tails, which had a whip with nine different little straps on it with different glass, hooks, meat, grind, all types of stuff that ripped his flesh till it wasn't a wound. His chest cavity opened up, and he said, you can count my bones. Read Psalm 22. He said that, pierce me in my side. And yet he wouldn't quit because he saw me and you. And you think you're going through something this morning. There's joy set before. Jesus didn't give up on you, and you can't quit on him now. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know about bills, problem, husband, wife, family, job situation. But all I know, there's joy set before us, and we got to focus forward. Amen. First statement. What's ahead of you is greater than what's behind. Focus determines reward. What's ahead of you is greater than what's behind. What you've coming into is greater than what you came out of. You're going to be so glad you didn't quit. I have not seen, ear have not heard, the things God has prepared for them that love him. There's joy set before us. There's healing. There's great. Everything that you haven't seen yet, your children's salvation, debt cancellation, total restoration. David said, I would have fainted unless I bleed to see it in the land of the living. And I'm telling, before Jesus come back, everything God has promised you, there's more ahead of you greater than what's behind you. And God wants us to focus forward. Jeremiah 15, verse 16 says this. Because when it says, for the joy set before us, I ain't talking about just a giggle. I'm talking about going to the Word of God and find the promise that bring you to joy about your healing, your children's salvation, your debt cancellation. The Bible says thy words are found, which means you got to put an effort. The Holy Spirit ain't going to knock that remote control out your hand and turn off the television and say, get in the Bible. You got to go. You got to get hungry. Thy words are found, and I got to eat them. You got to spend some time, meditate, digest it. And the word was unto me, what? The joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by thy name, O Lord, God of hope. So when we're talking about the joy set before us, we're talking about the scripture. We're talking about getting in the word of God that brings you the joy. If you ain't spending no time in the word, that's why you ain't got no joy. You got to find something to hold on to. When you run in a race, the Bible says, for the joy set before him. Well, joy comes from the word of God. How many scriptures are you concerning your marriage, your home, your family, your children? That's where your joy going to come from. When your flesh don't feel like rejoicing, you hold on to that word, praise God. That word becomes an anchor of your soul. And guess what? Nehemiah 8:10 says this. Not only is the word brings you joy, he said, Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet drink, and send portions unto them that nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. And don't be grieved, don't be depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and your stronghold. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you ain't got nothing set before, you ain't got no strength. That's why a lot of people become depressed. Particularly during this pandemic, no word, no strength, no joy, no strength. It ain't about just send them and go on. You got to have something to hold on to. The word of God has maintained and sustained me these years, praise God. You know, when everybody was home and everything was shut down, all our sports arenas, all our bars, all our food, all our restaurants, all our entertainment, school, everything, and you were seeing me, you know what kept me going when there was not one person in this room except these cameramen? The joy, the word of God that was set before. It was my strength. Even though the devil said, look at you, you're a fool. You're preaching to nobody out there. The church will never be the same. These people may never come back again. I'm talking to you that are home live streaming now. But it wasn't because of you, it was based on Jesus. He was set before. I said, wait a minute, Jesus didn't give up on me, and I don't care, no one never come back. I'm gonna preach the gospel by myself to the pews in the name of, and it became my strength. And when you got strength, then that means that the enemy cannot defeat you, because we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We ain't talking about your strength. We're talking about his strength. When your strength is exasperated, when you want to quit and give up, we're talking about the joy of the Lord becoming your strength. Hallelujah. Have you not heard that the God of this creation, he never faints. He didn't get weary. God didn't quit during this pandemic. The Bible says he give it power to the faint, and them that have no might, he increased his strength. For they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings of an eagle. They'll run and be not weary and walk and not faint. That was something still set in it. We still ain't through yet. Before Jesus returns, this whole building is going to be filled. No pandemic is going to stop God. There's joy set before us. You got to learn how to have joy even when you don't feel like it. Because Mary heart do good like medicine. And a lot of people need healing based off of their faces. Matter of fact, everybody needs someone to make them laugh in their life. Laughter is good, man. It keeps you going. Even when it's rough time, you can find somebody. Everybody need a nut in their life. That's what my best friend is calling that. And Matt might not even be here this morning. If he hear it, if he's, you know, he'll get it. Somebody respect the word, but you know how to laugh. See, laughter is like windshield wipers when it's raining. You understand what I'm saying? It don't stop the rain, but the wipers make sure the rain don't stop you. Oh, come on now. Amen. Amen. Tell me I ain't here. Why am I?
It's still raining. It's still Bill's problem. But it keeps me going. How? See, hey, laughter, it don't change, but it don't stop me.
Because I got joy set before me.
And I don't need no music. I don't need the choir. I don't need the praise. See, thank God for him. Thank God for him. But if Tim can't get over there, I got to dance. I got to shout. I got the joy of the Lord. This joy I have to work. It keeps you motivated. So the eternal rewards, then, put this statement up, ahead of us must become greater than the temporary things, problems, lust, present. That's the problem. We get sidetracked. We get distracted because we get our eyes off eternal things and get our eyes on temporary things. Sin is temporary. Pressure is temporary. Your bills are temporary. A lot of people quit, not just because of sin. When we say love, we're just talking about pressure. I've seen so many, but I just can't take these bills. I just quit. I can't just stand this marriage. I just quit. I can't, well, you know, you might can't stand marriage, but keep coming to church. I can't, and these bills, I ain't just going back. I tithed and tithed and tithed and given and given and given. They talking about the windows of heaven open. I can't even get my windows to my house open. Stuck. And they see anything. The devil don't care what. He just wants you to quit. He don't want you to listen to me, of all people. Just stay at home. Give up. Quit. Throw your hands in. Throw in the towel. He'll lose marriage, children, family. Lack of resources. Because we get our eyes off eternal rewards and on temporary stuff. You know, feelings are temporary. We all had them days where you just don't feel good. But you got to learn how to keep your eyes stay focused when you don't feel good, man. There were times, there's times I come to this pulpit. I don't feel like preaching, but because of the reward, the joy set before me. It's greater than the temporary pain or symptoms in my body. Look at this amazing scripture and talk about Moses here. It says in Moses, Hebrews 11, 24, 25, and then verse 26, it says, by faith, by the word of God, by faith, by the word of God. Moses, when he was come to years, look at these two things, hold it. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Keep going. Choosing rather, hold it there, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, you got to refuse and choose. I refuse to quit, I choose to go on. I refuse sickness and disease, I choose help. I refuse hate and strife, I choose to walk in love. You refuse, you choose. I refuse sin, and I choose. I'm not going to give up a temporary lust for a lifetime blessing. That's what happened to Esau. He was under pressure. Son in his flesh. He was hungry. Wasn't no woman. Wasn't no drugs. Wasn't no alcohol. He got hungry. And his brother took advantage of it, Jacob, deceiver. And the Bible says that he was hungry. And, he said, man, why don't you maybe some of that the Bible talked about, it was just lentil stew. And the Bible says that he said, if you give me your birthright. And he sold his birthright for a temporary. Now, after he ate the soup, the Bible said later on he wanted to repent. And see, it was too late. Some things are too late. Yeah, you can repent, but there are consequences. So you got to, me and my wife, let's see how we say it. Help me out on this one. Your present decisions will determine your future consequences. Your present choices. So you got to think about the future consequence before you make a decision. And I'm just going to throw something out there. I mean, you're going to choose to sleep with someone, you might get pregnant. You might get AIDS. You might die. That ain't the time to lay down and say, man, I should have let. You got to choose and refuse. Now, that's just a hardcore stuff. But people quit for a whole lot more than just bills, problems, pressure. I've been through divorce. You understand what I'm saying? They repossess my home. I just quit.
Because I couldn't. I lost my home.
See, you got to refill. Why? There's joy set before you. Now, I did this for a reason, choosing rather to suffer. Moses said, you know what? I could be in the house and live this luxury life. Now, when he came to years, he recognized I got a call of God on my life. I'm called to be a deliverer. And that's what it's all about. It ain't about you. It's who you called to deliver. And the devil tried to get you entangled because your life has effect, good or bad. You ever seen people who do good things? It's like they motivate you, and then someone you had confidence in all of a sudden, oh, man. And it's like, wow, man. I mean, if they like that, and you know, that's what people use who don't want to come to church either. I mean, if the preacher caught drunk, and why I'm going over that? So you got to, don't y'all get quiet on me. We got to talk about this. It's going to be good. Just everybody, relax. Breathe. Get a good breath. It's going to get better. But we got to cover this. So you got to refuse. You got to choose. Now look at this next verse. Because that thing was just for a season. Look what pulled him and motivated him. Why? Because he considered the contempt and the abuse and the shame and born for Christ's sake, the Messiah that was to come. See, he was before him. To be greater. Well. Than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked forward and away. Whoo, he looked forward and away. Now, I ain't looking at that. Temptation. I ain't going to be distracted. So-and-so got off. He looked forward. He focused forward and away. See, what you focus on is it. What you focus on, that's where your reward going to be. Focus determines reward. And he saw something greater. He can say, I don't care what I have to go through. Compared to what Jesus did for me, hallelujah, I'm going to, the joy set me. He looked forward in a way to what? The reward, the recompense. And nobody can recompense you like God. And that's what motivated him, praise God. Look at Numbers. I took a lot of time on that on purpose because I don't plan to be for you long. Or short. I'm just going to leave that there. Look at Numbers. Everyone say, focus forward. Why? What's ahead of you is greater. I'm telling you the best is yet to come. I'm telling you the best is yet to come. I'm telling you the best is yet. I'm prophesying on you. You ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah, God did some things, but there are some breakthroughs on the horizon. While we sit here this morning, there are breakthroughs in finances, breakthroughs on job, breakthroughs in people's lives, breakthroughs in relationships. I'm talking about while you sit here minding your own business, focusing on Jesus. You're taking care of God's business. God says, I'm going to take care of your business. You put me first, I'm going to put you first. I'm on the case, hallelujah. And I'm moving in your finance. I'm moving on your children. I'm moving on that job. While you are sitting here this morning, And got your joy and your eyes set on me. Because see, where your focus go, your energy flow. And God says, because I know you're looking unto me, the author and the finish. Anything that tenders, because you look away from the distraction, I'm dealing with it. Everything that was trying to irritate you, be a thorn in your flesh, because you didn't let it stop you. Now it's in my hand. I'm working on your kids, problem, job, boss man, every, because you didn't let it. You stayed focused. It was designed to get your eyes off of me. It's not just like a seal out there dangling. When you took your eyes off it, I put my hand on it. Numbers 8, book of Numbers. God always is trying to move the children of Israel forward, not backwards. And notice what he told them. In Numbers 8, verse 1 and 2. I'm reading from the Amplified. Everybody have it? Here it goes. It says this. And the Lord said, now yours is going to read a little different. The Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, when you set up the lamp lights, you know, they was on the journey. They was on the course. He was taken out of Egypt through the wilderness to a land that was more than enough. Some of them died. Some of them got distracted. Some of them murmured. Some of them complained, just like a lot of people murmuring and complaining today. A lot of people got mad. A lot of people got out of focus during this pandemic. And God says, I'm going to give you a lamp, a light as a lamp, and the seventh lamp shall be made to give light where? In front. In front. Don't matter. In front. In front. In front. Not bad, because I'm not, it's not where you come from, it's where I'm trying to get you. Hold it, hold it. Well, okay. Yeah, go back. He said it's gonna get like where in front of the lampstand. Keep going. Oh, that's verse 2? Well, let me what did verse 1 say? Okay, can we go back and look at it? Because I want to see it, because both of them talk about light out front. Can we just kind of back? Okay, and the Lord said, verse 1. Oh, it must be 2 and 3 then. Okay, it's okay. Keep going. And he said, when you set up the lampstand, make it get light out front of the lampstand. The next verse talk about light out front too. It's verse 3. I'll read it to you. That's on me. It's how many times these I see now how the Bible's written. And Aaron, if you can find it, go to the next verse. Good. And Aaron lighted the lampstand, to give light in front of it as the Lord commanded. Huh? Where? Out front. Okay. Put up this statement then. I'll show you where I'm headed. Your feet, Ben, are designed to step forward to make progress. Did you notice that? Everybody look down at their feet. Some of you, I ain't doing nothing. It's okay. Are your toes pointing forward to the back? Forward. Your toes are out front, right? On your feet, right? It's designed for you to make progress, to go forward. We're talking about focus forward. See, God, listen. Even the anatomy of your body is trying to, oh, Lord, have mercy. Even the anatomy of your body is trying to move you forward. This ain't even other than Michael Jackson. You ain't seen nobody coming in down the aisle like that, did you? Y'all see anybody coming in like this? Billie Jean. I'm saying, don't be looking at me like I'm trying to teach something. No, your toes out front, right? Your feet are designed to step forward to make progress, toes out front. Now, look at Psalms 119, 105. That lamp he was talking about is the word. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. God says, I ain't going to show you the whole path, but I'm going to give you just enough light for the next step. Every time it gets dark, you don't see how you're going to pay your bill. Go to the word. You'll see. Next step. How the children going to get saved? Next step. Out front. You're making progress, right? Come on. Hey. How you going to get out of that and pay the call? Next step. Yeah, but what about, no, you don't need to know about that. It's just like being in the fog. You don't need to see all the way. All you need to know is the next 10 feet. You're in darkness. You can't see. How the children going to get? The word is like, tell them to put a lamp and make sure that the light is out front. And so when the devil comes and say, you can't get out of that. You can't get you. How you going to get your healing this time? Go to the word. It'll show you how. How you going to pay this off? Go to the word. It'll show you how. Every problem. How you going to deal with that job situation? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. That's how you're going to make progress. Huh? One step at a time. Oh, yes. Somebody give God some praise. See, you need the word. It's going to shine the light. How you going to pay off the church? How you going to hire people? How you going to get the camp? God would show me all of this stuff. In a vision, I'm like, he said, no, all you got to do is take one step at a time, one message at a time. God is moving everybody in here somewhere. He's moving us forward. We're focusing forward with the word being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Psalms 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes in steps, it seemed dark over the years, building the church, building buildings. Where are you going to get the money? What about the bulldozer, sheetrock, equipment? God said, don't worry about it. All you need is light for the next step. Woo! God is moving somebody somewhere. This morning, you're focusing forward, and we are moving toward Jesus. That same psalm, it ain't in there, but it's in your Bible, 119, verse 105 says, order my steps in the word. See, you got to wait on your own orders. Don't try to do what someone else do. He told them to move in that neighborhood. I'm going to move over there too. Did the word tell you that? No. You're about to fail. Because God didn't give you those orders. Huh? Jesus told Peter, he said, if it be thee, Lord, bid me to come. He said, you come. Now, if somebody else would have got out, they would have drowned. Why? God is ordering his steps. And I'm trying to tell you, sometimes it gets dark. But if you stay in this word and keep coming to this church, God's going to give you light. He said, tell the children of Israel, I know, praise God, all they know is Egypt, but I'm taking them one step at a time out of Egypt, away from breaking the bricks and being slaves. I'm going to take them through the wilderness. It's going to get dark, but if you just says, put the lamp feet and let it shine forward in front of them, because I don't want them to look back. I don't want that God has brought you too far to look back. There ain't no looking back, praise God. We are focusing forward one step at a time, one step. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You didn't know where you are now a year ago, how you gonna get here, but God taught you to some theft. Am I talking to anybody? Something is put. And if you started you this far, what he started, he's the author and the finisher. What is he's trying to get you to your destiny? But no word, no light. And it got dark during the pandemic. God says, I'm going to anoint my man of God with a fresh anointing, and the devil going to wish he would have never messed with any of y'all. So don't get discouraged. You don't have to see all the way down the road. You just need enough light for the next step. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm walking by faith for what I have today. Tomorrow God will give me a word. And this weekend is, but I know I'm stepping out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Somebody give God some praise. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The devil thought he had us in darkness. Hallelujah. But that word, the entrance of the earth, bring light. Y'all start rejoicing at home. That's why he said, you make sure when you put the lamp, it's fast because we ain't going back. We ain't going back to Egypt. We're not going back to sin. We're not going back to misery. We're not going back to, oh no. Come on. When there's an army, you don't hear backwards, you hear forward march. The army of the Lord. We're marching on. Through sickness, through pain, through suffering, through misunderstanding, through a pandemic, we're coming out of darkness. Oh, there's an anointing in this place. I dare you to just praise God a little bit. God will meet you. He'll meet you. He'll sit down in your praise and speed up the process. Because while you've got your eyes set on Jesus, God is taking you through steps. Oh, light, show you the next step, not the whole pathway. We walk by faith and not by sight. I was coming down just the other day down the mountain, up in near Jefferson, down the mountain. Fog was so thick, and I was thinking about that. Had to turn on the lights. I couldn't see nothing. I know there was a road, there's a way to my destiny. But I could only see 10 feet in front. That's all I needed to see. Because every time I went 10 feet, I said, when you take that step, I'm going to give you more light. You take that step. And I'm telling you, God is bringing everyone out. And while you sitting here this morning, God is working because you didn't lose your focus. All that stuff that was trying to distract you this week, you might get home and find out the money is there, the child doesn't change, the doctor doesn't change, everything that because you refute what you leave to the side and don't let it distract you. God says, I put my hand on it. Oh, y'all gonna like this next one. Put it up. This is my favorite. Because some of you done had, I lost my soul. I've been in one. Then I lost my car. Stop crying over spilt milk and start looking for the next cow. It's time to move on. I'm not trying to be insensitive. I went through the one. I lost my husband. I'm not trying to be insensitive. They repossessed my house during the pandemic. It has happened. It has happened. Can you get the milk back? No, it's spilled. It's gone. Everyone say, focus forward. Start looking for the next cow. Yeah, but they fired me. Start looking for the next job. Got something big and better. Start looking for the next house. God, remember, he's taking you forward. He probably was trying to get you off that job anyway, to get you to that place and had the place closed down during the pandemic. But I ain't going to sit around and crawl the spilled milk. I'm looking for the next cow. Moo. Not just milk. Give me a cow. Because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. It's time to go forward. We're coming out of this pandemic. How long shall you mourn, Saul, seeing I rejected Samuel? Go get your anointing on. I rejected Saul. I got a king that will obey me. God got a new anointing waiting on you. Somebody give God some praise. Woo! It's time to rise up, church. No more distraction. These last 2 years, we got off distracted by everything. Had nothing to do with God. It's time for the church to get their focus back and start marching forward. Get our eyes back on Jesus, the author and the joy. You can't unscramble. We all have had some failures, some heartbreaks in the past. But what devil just wants you to sit there and freeze?
I lost my house. I lost my job. The doctor said this.
And God says, will you get in the Word so I can move you forward? I'm going to try to take you to the next step. I'm going to deal with you in steps. And at some point, you have to just say, I'll move it on. Yeah. My daughter, my aunt, my brother, my mama died, even my mate. But I'm not alone. I'm moving out of this depression. God got more. What's ahead of me is greater than what's behind. He knew all this before I got on this journey. And as my brother used to sing, Brother Charles said, I don't believe he bought me this far to leave me. I just don't believe that. Because he the one offered it. He chose me. I didn't choose him. There was something he seen in my life. That's why I'm sitting up in this pew this morning. And I still have value to God. But I can't sit around crying over spilled milk when there's cows out there in the past. Bigger and better. Everyone say focus forward. Why? For the joy set before you. Look at Philippians 3. I'm almost done. Someone say, you kidding me? No, I'm not. Why? Because y'all with me this morning. See, usually it take me about an hour just to get you to this point. So I'm going to be a half sleeper. Some of y'all ready this morning. All right now. Woo! It takes you about 50 minutes an hour to get you to that point. Some of y'all, devil, you ready this morning.
God didn't forsake you. He's just taking one step at a time. Light out front to show you the way. Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. And we all have had some disappointments, devastation. But I ain't gonna sit around and cry. You know? It's gone. It is gonna be replaced or restored. That's what God said. But I ain't gonna sit here and cry. Yeah, I was hurt. I thought I had a friend, but they betrayed me, cut me. Thought that minister was with me. You see, the devil used folks to devastate you. Got to move out of it. You got to push through that. Tell your soul, we're going to bless God anyhow. Even though someone I trusted in hurt me, someone in my family abused me, I'm moving past that. I got to look at them every Thanksgiving. But that's okay. That the blood of Jesus has passed. I'm stronger than this. You can't break me, devil. Y'all got Philippians 3? It says this. Paul said, you know what? Verse 12. Not as though I've already attained either. And I like Paul because he relates to you and I. We're already perfect. Who's perfect in here? Put your hand up. Don't put your hand up. Oh, there's none perfect. No, not one. Only the Father. We strive toward the word these out. We come up short. But notice what Paul said. He's relating to you and I. He said, I'm with you. I can feel you. We would say, I can feel you, Paul said. I feel you. I ain't perfect either. But I follow after this that I may apprehend that. Notice, says something said before. apprehend that which I'm apprehended of God. Apprehend means to lay hold on. He said, I want to lay hold on the reason God laid hold on me. Just think about it. Out of 9 billion people on the planet, who you are sitting up in World Life in High Point, North Carolina, and God specifically chose you. Don't you want to know why? Paul said, it's going to take a lifetime. He said, now, I ain't perfect, but I'm going to follow on to know that. He said, this one thing, but notice this. He said, I count myself not to apprehended, but this one thing. What he said, I got this one thing. I ain't got all the rest of it, but I got this one thing. I do, and that's this. Forgetting those things which are behind. Everyone say, focus forward. And I reach. I press. I'm on a course. I'm running a race. And I'm looking under someone. I press forth to those things which are before. What's before me is greater than what's behind me. I press means there's opposition. Means it's going to always be something to give you a reason not to. I press toward the mark for the prize. Huh? Focus, determine, reward. Jesus is our reward. He's the joy set before us. And notice he's not behind us. He said the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ. You get it? Put it up and amplify it. Because this is, I'm just sort of milk some of these scriptures. He said, not that I've attained this ideal, have already been made perfect. I ain't there yet. I'm still working on stuff. Read Romans 7. He'll tell you the good I would do, I do not. The evil that I would not do, that I do. Huh? When I would do good, evil is present with you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Your spirit born again, but you still got a flesh. And you don't want that dead man to come alive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We try to crucify him every day on the job, but every now and then someone needle you the wrong way. And you feel yourself that, you feel that you, instead of with them feet, ain't going forward no more. You backsliding. Oh, you don't want me to go back there. Because there was a time, girl, I would have went in my trunk. You better thank God I'm saved. Shanda, shanda. Watch it. He said, no, I ain't there yet. But so I lay hold of my grasp on my own for the same reason the Messiah laid hold on me and made me his own. Huh? I do not consider, brethren, that I've captured that yet. I ain't there. Not on my own yet, but this one thing I do. I got this one thing.
And that's my one aspiration, beginning those things behind and straining forth to what lies ahead. Straining forth, going forward, not backwards, what lies ahead. I press toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize, which God is in Christ Jesus is calling me. Where? Upward. Forward and upward. Forward and upward. Moses said, you know what? I refuse anything that's present now. Pledges of sin for a season, because there's something that's got me looking away from that and forward. How do you overcome your past? Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sound cotton when it come out, but let me work with it. You know the best way to get over an old flame? You know, someone that really you had your emotion, get a new one. Stay with me. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. See something different. Yeah. Preach, Pastor. Preach. That's my man of God. Now, let me tell you who the new flame is before you get way out in left field. Who's the joy set before you? Now, it's true in the natural. But what you got to do to press forward, listen, in order to move forward, you got to push and pull. See, if you find something, anything that's better than what you came out of, how do you know what I'm talking about? You get beat up bad enough. Let's stay on relationship. Because everybody, if you get beat up bad enough and you get out of it, it's like, I ain't going back to that. I don't care. You can keep the money, the house, the car. But what's better when you got something pulling you? See, Christ is pulling us. Your vision pulls you toward your future. What God got ahead of you. You understand what I'm saying? The fire, what God got ahead of you. And let's talk about that. If you sign someone that's saved, born again, love God, love the word of God, this and that going to treat you like this, that will pull you forward. That will say, I refuse to let myself be treated like that again. Vote like that again. Let someone call myself self-esteem to go that low again. I ain't ready to, because I know, and Jesus loved you. He cares for you. He'll never break your heart. You got to have something pulling you. See, at the same time, because there's going to be days you don't want to. Some days you're going to have to push. You push back on your path. Them old feelings, those emotions, all that stuff you came. Sometimes you got to push back. You got to resist. Remember, you got to resist. I ain't going back. I ain't going. Whatever it is. So some of you, that's not a person. That could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be pornography. It could be sickness. It could be disease. Whatever you came out of. You got to have something pulling you more than what's in your past. And I've seen enough in this Bible to pull me toward God when no one else want to go. How many of you know what I'm talking about, the pull? How many of you know your dream will pull you? It'll wake you up when you know that you're supposed to be somewhere. Your vision is out there, ain't happened yet. That's got to pull you. Your focus then, dream, must pull you forward while you resist your past. I'm almost done, y'all. If you're waiting on the hot spot, you done missed it. Because I want you to hear something. I want you to find something that's going to pull you. Because see, Peter lost his vision. Hear me. After Jesus was crucified. And notice what happened. He was following the Lord. Lord, those all others faking, not me. Lord, do you want us to build your temple? He was always, until he was crucified. And he's thrown in the tomb. And he thought it was a failure. And guess what he did, y'all? He went where? Back to fishing. See, if you ain't got nothing pulling you in your future, your past will try to pull you back. He thought it was a failure. And matter of fact, read the Bible. It's in the book of Luke. He got drunk. He went back to drinking. And probably cussing too, because he was one of them cussing Christians. That denied the Lord. Cussed Jesus out. I don't know, man. I told you. What's happening? There ain't nothing pulling him anymore. He's dead. He's gone. It was all just a myth until after the resurrection. And he's out there and Peter's gone. And he's trying to catch fish and caught what? Nothing. Remember that? Why? Because when God pulls you out, you can't go back to where it ain't gonna feel right, ain't gonna have the same thing. It ain't gonna be like that old flame you thought. It's like, that ain't right. Why? Something's pulling him. And Peter and Jesus is on the glorified is on the shore saying, cooking fish. He done caught fish cooking, got some croaker. Read your Bible. It's in there, book of Luke. Some of you looking like, where are you getting this from? The Bible. Read it. It's a good book. He said, have you caught any fish yet? He knew he ain't caught nothing. Gave some fish, restored him, go tell my disciples and Peter, your failure. Then he got something pulling again. And once he realized he was alive and well, look on the day of Pentecost. Who's the chief spokesman? Peter. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. 8,000 member church. I'm telling you, you ain't seen your day of Pentecost yet. Don't you dare quit. Simon, Simon, Satan desire to shift you like we, but I pray for your faith that it fell. There's something greater in your future. I ain't through with you yet. Even your sin, even your, have not canceled what I got for your life. Divorce don't cancel. That don't. I'm not saying all that. Dumb people think I'm, leave folks alone. Jesus authored their faith and he'll finish it. Care what they went through. So then, put this statement up there, that scripture for Isaiah 43:18, so they can see it. God says, remember not the former things. That's why he's been trying to get you to forget that. You ain't no fisher no more. I told you I'm going to make you fishermen of men. I know you failed, and something got to be pulling you forward. The joy I said before. Consider not the things that will keep going. He said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing something new in your life. My mercies are new every morning. I still got a plan for you. He said, now it's going to spring forth. It's happening while you sit here right now. While you're focusing on me, praise God. And shall you not know it? Hey, guess what? I'm even going to make a way in the wilderness, and I'm going to cause rivers in your dry places. I'm making a way out of no way. I'm doing a new thing. I know you made some mistakes. Just like Paul, we all, none of us are perfect, but I'm forgetting those things that are behind me because God's doing a new thing. So you got to push against your past and let your dream pull you. Put up my next statement. I'm about done. Your dream pre-plays your future, but your memory replays your past. I'm going to let that one sink in. Because what the devil will do is remind you, remember the last time what happened, you failed. You remember the last time you went through that with her. Remember the last thing you can. Remember the last time you did that. Remember the last time you started business. He mass rewind and take you back and remind you of your sins, your faults, your failures, everything. And you get stuck in that. Paul said, forget those things that are behind me. I got a dream. That's where everybody, you got to have a dream like Joseph. You got to have a vision, something pulling you forward that's better than what you came out of. So your dream pre-plays. It shows you what it's going to be like. It shows you the plans of God. I know the thoughts and plans that I have. Woo! To give you a good final outcome. It's rough right now. You're going through right now. You ain't got a job right now. You lost this and that during the pandemic. You went down during the pandemic here. You had to move down. But I'm going to restore to you. There's a future. I'm doing a new thing. Everything that you lost, if you'll keep your focus on me. So your dream, that's why everybody got to have a dream. That wasn't just a nice speech Martin Luther was making. That was prophetic. I have a dream. Why do you think they could beat him and it was nonviolent? Hold him down with water. Dogs by him. Bust him in the head. He had a dream that the day would come. It was pre-planned. It ain't going to be like this always. Better days are coming. I said better days are coming because I got a dream. I've been to the mountaintop. I can see the glory of God coming. It ain't glorious now. But I'm not going to get stuck in my past. The feet, the light is on the front of my feet. We're focusing forward. A lot of you are stuck because divorce, death, bad marriage, all of these things are like 1, 2, 3, death of a loved one, with traumatic things that could happen in people's life. And you keep letting the devil mash rewind, and you get more and more depressed. God trying to move you forward. You keep through your memory replaying your past. And God is by the dream, by your vision, wants you to prepare your future. Where there's no vision, people perish. Look at Proverbs 23:17. I'm almost done. Anybody getting anything out of this? I'm trying to move you forward this morning. And so is God. For the joy that's set before you. He said, let not your heart envy sinners. Some of you think the sinners got, oh man, they doing all that. They got this and that. Don't envy sinners. Folks that hate God look like they are prospering. No. He said, don't let your heart envy sinners. I'm glad I'm saved. But continue now reverently and worshipfully in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Why? For surely there is a latter end and a future and a reward. And your hope, your dream, your expectation shall not be cut off. Woo, the devil can't. If you get a dream from God, if you got something pulling you forward, he said there's a future and a great reward ahead of you. And the devil can't cut it off. Everyone say, focus forward. He said, you ain't seen the latter end. You think you're strong enough? I'm doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm cutting rivers right in the middle of desert, barren land. I'm about to bear fruit and show off in your life and show myself strong than you ever because you made it through the pandemic. That's the fact that you didn't quit. You kept your focus. You kept your eyes on me. You kept running the race when you got tired. You kept running the race when you were criticized. You kept running the race even when you were, you know, pain can be a wake-up call. And some of us had to go to pain, but it woke us up. I don't like how I feel. I don't like this pain that this brought. So I can't make that decision anymore. Pain can be a teacher. I used to run marathons, half marathons. And I ran so much that I damaged my knees. I tore my meniscus twice. And every time I tore it, they say, no pain, no gain. Just get on out there, tough it out. And I'm like, shoot, my knee was no pain. I'm like, pain, something wrong. It was trying to teach me. I took an MRI, my whole meniscus was torn. I had to get arthroscopic surgery twice. Pain taught me something, that you can't run on the streets anymore. I bought me elliptical, I'm still training, but I don't do what I used to do. So sometimes even pain, stuff, the devil, God didn't bring it, but you can learn from it. That relationship bring me to too much pain. I can't hook up with nobody like that ever again. I gotta watch you at least 3 years. I know you're talking in tongues. I know you come in church. I know you read your Bible, but the last one did that. And they took me to the cleaner. Let me close. Now I gotta be able to sleep at night. Tossing and turning. You getting to sleep at all last night. Now watch this. I'm going to leave that alone. That's inside the stuff right there. Let me close. Then put up Jeremiah. I'm going to say a couple of things. I'll let you go home. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. So God, see, you got to have something planned. God says, I got something ahead of you. I know the thoughts and plans. Quit worrying about what other people. God said, I still got plans, but they're ahead. You ain't seen them yet. There's joy set before you. He says, I have to say, says the Lord, thoughts and plans of welfare for peace to give you what? Hope in your final outcome. A good expected end. Hope. It ain't the end yet. How it is today, it's better. Paul said, you got to forget those things behind you. You'll never see the good plans that God has for your life if you get stuck in your present pain. Just learn from it. Once I did that, I quit running on the street. I was trying to play basketball, but God said, don't you shoot no ball no more. Oh, that community can't do that. You ain't gonna have no collars left between your knees. So what happened? Pain taught me. It made me adjust my life. God didn't bring it, but I take it. You can learn. Huh? You can learn from your mistakes. Just don't focus on them. Move on. Anybody getting what I'm saying? So, in closing, let me just leave this thought. Someone else's dependency on you many times will cause you to press forward, even when you're in pain. Jesus said, for the joy set before him. When you got other people depending on you. I'm a pastor. Look how y'all depending on me. So then when I come to crossroad and I'm like, man, I'm tired, God, I don't think about me, I think about you. Wanda needs me. K-Trail needs me. Jefferson needs me. My wife, my son. Ask yourself this when you wake up in the morning. It'll keep you motivated. Who needs me today? Because it ain't about how I feel. Who needs me today? Well, my wife needs me. My son needs me. You need me. The leaders in this church need me. So I've already set the agenda that I can't be distracted. Nothing is more important or should be more important than jeopardizing those that need me. So sometimes when you press forward, someone put, it ain't about you. You would quit it, but it's your son, it's your daughter, it's a cousin, it's a husband, it's a wife, it's a family, it's a church. I'll leave this story with you as I close. There was a truck driver, long distance truck driver, had low self-esteem, hardworking man, good man, but he had a gold digging wife. Unfaithful. Every time he go out on the road for a week or two, she's having sex with men left and right. He still paid the bills, did everything the best he could. And he just went on for months. After about a year, he come in, didn't know what to find, and instead of finding his wife, all the furniture was gone. Found a note, said, I'm leaving you. You are low down, sorry, no good man. She was one. See, you can't love. What people do, they think you do. He ain't this and that. He never was a man. He never did. And just, I'm leaving you. Found out she had emptied his bank account. All the money was gone. All the furniture was gone. Everything was gone. And left him a note. And he was so depressed. He just didn't feel like living anymore. He already had low self-esteem. He'd done the best he could as a man. This woman had just misused, abused him to the point he went and got a 38 revolver and put it in his mouth. And just before he pressed the trigger, he heard a voice. Daddy! Daddy! I need you. And it was his son. And he kept living not because of his pain, but somebody needs me. God needs you. We were the joy set, but sometimes the reason you keep going forward is not because it's all about you and everything perfect or your life is, it's just because other people need you. God needs you. Your family, you might need this folks on your job who needs you. And if you quit now, you just don't affect your people. You affect those that were looking to you. And if you can't do it for no one else, then do it for those who need you. Y'all get anything out of this? Stand on your feet and give God some praise. Give God some praise. Now, I want to give an altar call. Maybe there's someone not saved. Maybe you're not born again.